That's right. It's that time again. Caped Chronicles is back with episode number 23 as we discuss the beginning and almost the end of the MCU with Hulk from 2003. This episode is being recorded on March the 17th, 2019. I am Mike and looking forward to digging into this amazement of a movie, whatever it's called.
He can't even get the words out. He's so excited.
I can't even get the word out. And that person you heard me talking was Carrie. Carrie, what's up?
Oh, not much. It's nice and in the 80s over here in LA, so any illusions that winter happened in Southern California is now gone.
That's true. That's true. And, you know, we have John Howard. Oh, no, wait, John's not here this week. Eric, what? Crap, Eric's not here this week, but you know what? We brought back our faithful co-host. They decided to come all the way back and join us. They skipped X2, and they come back on Hulk.
Guess who's back?
And I that think we screwed that
back
up.
Back again. Yes.
Really? Andrew, why don't you just finish the song for us? Go ahead.
I mean, guess who's back? Guess who's back? Guess who's back? It's Fred and Andrea!
Yay!
That sounds like a sitcom opening right there. It's the Fred and Andrea show.
Yuck, yuck, yuck.
Oh, boy.
We can't even get out of the introduction. It's awesome. And so, Fred, Andrea, what's going on? How y'all doing?
I am doing fantastic. I am finally free from surgery, post-surgery stuff, so I feel like I'm getting back into the routine again. I want to start working out again because I feel like blah. I feel like that toad in the Hulk that exploded. That's how I felt the last couple weeks, so I'm ready to go back into
the world. You know that was not a real toad?
I hope it wasn't.
It wasn't. That was a toad that they had built, and they had pumped air into with a bicycle pump to keep it act like it was breathing. It was awesome.
Interesting.
Until it went boom. That was Andrea, and then we have Fred. What's up?
Not much, Mike. Oh, it's been a long time. It feels like it's been a month since we've recorded last because we were gone for the last one. I know. It's kind of weird how that works, eh?
Yeah.
And like California, Today was the warmest day on record here for the year. It was 18 Canadian degrees Celsius, so that's what, 70, 68 degrees Fahrenheit?
Yeah, climate change isn't a thing.
Really nice.
Really, it's not.
It was 68 for us last Friday and 23 today when I woke up. It was great.
Awesome.
I know. But look, if you want to hear all about these awesome conversations, you can join us in Discord. Don't know where to go? Go to randomchatter.com/discord. Follow us there. Support us on Patreon. Go to randomchatter.com/patreon for just $1 a month. Listen, McDonald's coffee is not the cream of the crop. I am bashing McDonald's tonight like something fierce.
McDonald's coffee is good. What are you talking about? Maybe it's a Canadian
thing.
Our coffee is better than yours.
That dollar coffee you buy from Tim Hortons that tastes like crap anyways. Go ahead and send that over to us at patreon.com and randomchatter.com/patreon.
All right then. Wow. Keep on drinking that Kool-Aid that you're drinking, Mike.
No, this is real Southern sweet tea. None of that other garbage you get from. Okay. Give me another restaurant I could bash on tonight.
Wendy's.
Anyways. No, that junk is my jam right there. We don't talk about Wendy's. But listen, yeah, support us on Patreon, guys. It's just $1 a month. You get access to all of the Discord channels. You get bonus content and stuff like that. So join us on Patreon for just $1 a month. But without further ado, we are going to move into our Hulk movie from 2003. Here's a summary. Bruce Banner, a genetics researcher with a tragic past, suffers an accident that causes him to transform into a raging green monster when he gets angry.
I don't really know if that was an accident, because he stood in the way of it on purpose.
Well, he was trying to save his friend.
Okay.
Who we never saw the rest of the movie.
Because he died. No,
he survived.
He died.
Standing in front of a gamma radiation thingy is not going to stop gamma radiation.
That's true.
Especially when he covered his eyes.
Listen, but, if but, that's but the thing that you're worried about the most in this movie, something's wrong. Oh, well, Fred, why don't you tell us a little about our cast and our crew?
All right, starting with the director, we have Ang Lee from Life of Pi, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Brokeback Mountain, and Sense of Sensibility. For actors, we have Eric Bana, who played Bruce Banner, the Hulk. From Troy, Munich, King Arthur, Star Trek, 2007, Black Hawk Down, and Finding Nemo. We have Jennifer Connelly, who played Betty Ross, and she played in Labyrinth, The Rocketeer, Spider-Man Homecoming, Beautiful Mind, Alita Battle Angel, Alita Battle Angel, The Day the Earth Stood Still, House of Sand and Fog, the 2008 version, Top Gun Maverick, which is coming out, and Snowpiercer.
And that show's not out yet either. That's coming out as well. That's the one that got Henry Cavill, wasn't it?
No. Witcher.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, my bad. Go ahead.
Next, we have Sam Elliott, who plays Ross. Wow, he nailed that one.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Love Sam Elliott regardless.
Yeah. He's from A Star is Born, the 2018 version, Gettysburg, The Big Lebowski, Tombstone, Ghost Rider, Roadhouse, Prancer, We Were Soldiers, Ghost Rider, and The Ranch.
You guys put Ghost Rider in here twice? Wow.
Apparently we did.
Apparently.
It was twice the fun.
Oh yeah, we'll definitely talk about that one.
Yeah.
Next we have... We have Josh Lucas, who played Talbot. He's played in American Psycho, Poseidon, Stealth, Sweet Home Alabama, and A Beautiful Mind. And last but not least, Nick Nolte, who played the father from 48 Hours, Another 48 Hours, The Mandalorian, Tropic Thunder, and Cape Fear. Next, we have composer, which is Danny Elfman, who composed Batman, Batman Returns, Justice League, Hellboy 2, Instinct, Black Beauty, Desperate Housewives, The Simpsons, Tales from the Crypt, and Spider-Man.
All right, Danny Elfman.
Yep.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Yay. I love Danny Elfman. Okay, so some box office stuff here. Runtime was 138 minutes. Rated PG-13 for sci-fi, action, violence, some disturbing images, and brief partial nudity. Okay.
We saw his butt!
Yeah. Yeah, we saw Hulk's butt. I mean, okay. Released on June 20th, 2003, with a budget of $137 million. We've already broken Mike. Excellent.
You know what's funny is that he was in Finding Nemo, and Nemo says, oh my gosh. He touched the butt. So, like, that's perfect.
It's just, we're talking about brief partial nudity, and Andrew just goes, we saw his butt.
Well, technically, we saw two butts. We saw the Hulk's butt and Bruce's butt.
Double the action.
Oh, my goodness. This movie was 135 minutes too long.
Okay, so opening weekend domestic box office take was $62,128,000. $420. That's the high we're talking there, the 420 part. Lifetime domestic gross.
God.
Okay. You know what? Andrew is not the only one who could try to break Mike. Lifetime domestic gross is $132 million. Worldwide gross is $245.3 million. Rotten Tomatoes score, critics gave it a 62%, and the audience gave it a 29%.
Wow.
Ouch.
All
critics
right,
wrong
yeah.
Again.
So when it comes
These are like phantom levels.
Phantom levels. So when it comes to movie rankings, this is from Box Office Mojo. In terms of genre, superheroes, it ranks 65. When it came to superhero origin stories, it was 29. When it came to franchises, Marvel Comics, it ranked 42, which is pretty low.
Bad.
And then when it came to charts, all-time domestic was ranked at 447, all time worldwide, it was 591. Yearly 2003, it's 14, which is not really that bad considering how many movies there are per year. It was halfway through. And then when it came to worldwide yearly in 2003, it was 15.
So kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
I had to dig into that Marvel one, though, because my first guess was, is there only 42 Marvel movies? Is that why it's 42? But no.
Yeah.
There's 56.
What's lower than that?
Captain Marvel.
So Daredevil.
There's
43. Take it back, Mike.
Worse than Hulk.
Elektra. Howard the Duck is 53.
What's 56?
Inhumans.
Your origin story, Mike.
Captain Marvel's 55.
Seriously?
No. Once Upon
Mike,
a Deadpool.
Shut up.
Yeah.
No, Andrea, I'm in a minority opinion. I thought it was a good Marvel movie, but I didn't think it was
the best.
I think it's the middle of the pack.
No, it wasn't the best.
No.
But it made
it's
me tear up.
It's kind of floating in the middle of the...
It made me tear up because it was like, I don't know, I felt something for her character. Not in a weird way, but...
I thought Brie Larson was phenomenal at Captain Marvel.
I agree.
I enjoyed watching it. I just thought the movie felt like a phase one, kind of like in the middle of the pack, kind of a out of the 21 movies, it kind of is around 13, 14.
It
for
wasn't
me.
Like the best, but I enjoyed it. It's watchable and I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I'd watch it again. All right. So filming and release notes. So this is interesting when I start looking at seeing what movie came out after and which movies came out before. So 3 weeks before this movie came out, Finding Nemo and The Italian Job came out.
He touched the butt.
2 weeks before this movie, Too Fast, Too Furious came out. The movie is legit one of my favorites. And then 1 week before, Dumb and Dumber, When Harry Met Lloyd. That one's one of my favorites.
I have not watched any Dumb and Dumbers.
I was forced to
that
watch
depresses
the first
me
one.
On so many levels.
But
I was forced to watch the first one, and I never want to see another one.
Now, here's something that's actually funny. 2 weeks after the movie came out, Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines, and Legally Blonde 2 came out. And then we have the start, and 3 weeks after it came out, Pirates of the Caribbean came out.
Oh, wow. Pirates of the Caribbean.
One.
I enjoyed that movie.
It's amazing.
The first
one
was really
good. I love
good.
That movie.
The third one's the best to me. Mm-mm. At
Agreed.
World's End.
Agreed.
So,
see,
it's okay, Andrea.
See, Mike and I can agree sometimes.
Yeah, it's okay, Andrea. Everybody can be
everybody
wrong.
Everybody can be wrong. Yeah, okay. Nobody can be as perfect as I am, Mike. Carrie can go to your corner sometimes.
Oh, dear.
Oh. So, production for this movie began in 1990. With producers Avi Arad and Gail Ann Hurd, and I didn't realize she had been around that. I know it sounds weird and really inconsiderate. I didn't realize Gail Ann Hurd had been around that long, because she is producing and directing on The Walking Dead right now.
Cool.
So I didn't realize she had something into this movie as well. So that was pretty cool. So it started back in 1990. Between 1990 and 2001, this film went through numerous script rewrites, hiatuses, director changes due to budget issues and script issues.
I just realized who Gail Ann Hurd is. Wow, interesting.
I literally just told you who Gail
Ann
Hurd was.
Mind blown. I just have to see her face. That's the thing. I'm not good with names. I'm good with
you do.
Faces.
You have to put a face with a name.
Yes.
Filming began on March 18, 2002 in Arizona and moved on April 19th to San Francisco Bay Area. This included Advanced Light Source, Lawrence Berkeley Labs, Oakland, Treasure Island Military Base, and the Sequoia Forest of Porterville before several weeks in the Utah and California deserts. The penultimate battle between Hulk and his father used the real Pear Lake and Sequoia National Park as a backdrop. Filming then moved to the Universal backlot in L.A. using Stage 12 for the water tank scene before finishing in the first week of August. One of many the visual images in the film that presented an acting challenge for Banna was a split-screen technique. Oh, this one was this. Yeah, I hated those. Employed by Lee to cinematically mimicked the panels of a comic book page. This required more takes of an individual scenes than normal. ILM started computer animation work in 2001 and completed it, listen, in May of 2003, just 1 month before this movie released.
Wow.
2 hours they worked on computer, I mean 2 years they worked on computer animation on this thing. Universal Pictures spent $2.1 million to market the film in a 30-second television spot during Super Bowl 37 on January 26th, 2003. $2.1 million that they will probably never in their life or wish they would have never wasted on this ad. And that was a Super Bowl nobody cared about because that was Tampa Bay and Oakland Raiders. All right. And it also won the Stinker's Bad Movie Awards for Least Special Effects.
That's sad.
Especially since 2 years of work effort into that.
Down the drain. So, Fred, there's not many casting notes, but who do we have?
So, we have Edward Norton was approached to play Bruce Banner, but he turned it down. Despite being a fan of the Hulk, he didn't like the script. He later accepted the role in The Incredible Hulk, the 2008 version. And then, I'm probably going to butcher this name, Billy Crudup turned down the role of Bruce Banner. Also considered were Tom Cruise, Johnny Depp, Jeff Goldblum, David Duchovny, and Steve
Buscemi.
Yeah.
I could almost see David Duchovny do it, but no.
Why is Jeff Goldblum even on this
list? I know.
I'm looking at that, and maybe I see too many parallels between this and The Fly. That wouldn't have been a good pick.
He could have probably played the father. I can see him in that role.
Right.
Maybe, yeah.
But he cannot take Sam Elliott's spot. Sam Elliott's the man.
No.
Oh, yeah.
The saving grace of this movie. Carrie, what about a little bit of the origin of the Hulk?
Okay, real name, Bruce Banner, location, wherever the carnage is.
Me. Relatable.
Yeah, so wherever Andrea is. First appearance in Incredible Hulk number 1, 1962, created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, publisher Marvel Comics, team affiliations, Avengers and the Defenders. That's interesting. Powers, super strength, superhuman speed and constitution, enhanced healing abilities. Let's see.
Now look, it's shorter this time. I didn't put as much
fluff
in there.
Yeah, thank you, Mike.
You know.
Okay, so American comic strip, comic strip character created for Marvel Comics by writer Stan Lee and artist Jack Kirby, the towering, muscle-bound anti-hero debuted in the bi-monthly series The Incredible Hulk in May 1962. The Hulk was a hybrid of two popular comic book genres, monsters and superheroes. In The Incredible Hulk number 1, Lee and Kirby introduced the emotionally repressed nuclear scientist Robert Bruce Banner, inventor of the gamma bomb. Because that never goes well. No. The Hulk's first comic book series lasted only 6 issues before being canceled, but audiences were sufficiently intrigued with the title character to justify continued guest appearances elsewhere in the Marvel Universe. In addition to brushes with the Fantastic Four and Spider-Man, the Hulk became a charter member of the Avengers, although he left the team after just 1 issue. Oops.
That was the Edward Norton Hulk.
Hulk garnered a regular feature in Tales to Astonish, beginning in issue number 60 in October 1964, after sharing the title first with Giant Man and later with the Submariner. Hulk eventually took over the magazine completely, as, you know, Big Green Guy is willing to do. With issue number 102 in April 1968, it was then renamed The Incredible Hulk. The characterization and appearance of the Hulk underwent numerous changes after the character's inception. These transformations began almost immediately. In his debut performance, the creature had gray skin, but Marvel's printer was unable to produce the hue consistently, and Lee and Kirby made him green in the second issue. That could be an alternate version of the origin of Gray Hulk.
Yeah.
Which would be, that could be interesting.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about our backgrounds with the Hulk. This was definitely the first Hulk movie I had ever seen. I never knew much about the Hulk. And he's an okay hero. He isn't my favorite hero. And I have to be careful tonight because I told Carrie before we recorded DC Talk that I've been in a very negative movie and TV viewing mode lately.
This movie has put Mike in a bad mood.
This put me in a bad place. So then I went and tried to watch Umbrella Academy and got very negative about it. And then watched a couple other shows and got very negative. I'm like, this movies and TV suck lately. Kind of a mood. So it's been bad.
Have you watched Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
I did. That is the one saving grace I
honestly
had this week.
Honestly, if there's anything that has made me survive the last couple of weeks, it has been that show. I've been binge watching it whenever I have a chance. It just makes me feel really happy. I love it.
It does. It makes you laugh. Yes. I love it. Oh, that and Doom Patrol. Doom Patrol makes me laugh all the time, too. Those two shows I can watch all day. So, okay, I'm sorry. So he's not one of my favorite. This is the first time I've ever seen a Hulk movie. This one was. I don't remember who had it. I think it was my brother had this movie, and I watched it when it was on DVD. But that's I wasn't very familiar with him. What about you, Carrie?
I was familiar with the Hulk. I knew who he was going back to, you know, most of my life. I had seen a handful of reruns of the old TV series, and I watched the animated series, which eventually became Hulk and She-Hulk, I think. I remember being really excited when I heard Ang Lee was going to be making this because I was a big fan of Crouching Tiger, and I really wanted to see what he would do with this movie. I don't hate this movie. It's not the best movie in the world, but I don't hate it. That's all I can say. Andrea?
Fred? When it comes to the Hulk, the Edward Norton one was the very first one I ever watched. I actually never watched this movie until today. So it was...
Not many people knew it existed.
It was pretty interesting for me to watch it today. And I think I have a very fresh perspective on it, which is nice, instead of coming in with hate, I guess. Mike.
I don't have hate.
Yeah.
Strong dislike.
I don't believe you, Mike.
There were some I like some things about the movie. We'll get to those later.
Okay.
So I watched this movie back in 2003, or at least I think I saw it in theater, but if I didn't, it would have been very shortly after it was released.
He skipped out of work.
Probably.
I feel like I had seen it in theater. I don't know.
I know I didn't see it in the theater. I saw it later, but I saw it when it was on DVD, but yeah. Okay, continue.
Yeah, and then I'm pretty sure I saw the Hulk through the different TV shows and stuff, so I knew who the Hulk was. I never read any of the comics, but a lot of my friends did, so I did get secondhand information and different action figures and stuff.
Okay.
Nice.
So, speaking of the Hulk, let's talk a little bit about the characters. What did you guys think of some of the main characters and actors in this movie?
I loved hating Sam Elliott's Ross.
Oh, yeah.
Sam Elliott's the man.
He absolutely the man. Nailed it in this movie.
He nailed it. He was just so dislikable. I it was great.
And that mustache.
Oh, yeah.
Holy smokes.
He can't get rid of that mustache.
And you know, they wanted him to have, when they approached him about the role, he said, I have a mustache. He said, it's okay. He said, we want you to still do it. He said, but generals don't have mustaches.
Oh.
And they said, well, we're making an exception.
Sure.
Sure.
I didn't like Betty's character.
She
was just
terrible. I did not like her at all.
Actually, I wrote down that they got Jennifer Connelly for the role, and she's such a strong actress. And putting her in this role, it just didn't work for them. I don't know what exactly it was, if it was the writing, if it was the directing, the acting, or just all of the above, but
I think it was the writing and directing, to be honest, because that's why I put on here Betty's character was terrible, not Jennifer Connelly. That's why I think the character itself was just awful.
I agree.
I didn't mind her so much, but I admit I liked Liv Tyler better.
Yes.
When we get to the 2008 version.
Yeah.
I didn't like Betty. I thought that the writing with her was very sloppy and she was very inconsistent. I liked Sam Elliott as an actor, but I did not like the father role because he was so inconsistent. Like, he didn't act like a military man at some points, making like...
Sorry, we just lost Andrea on the call.
No! There are some decisions as a military man you have to make and your daughter cannot be part of them. And he would, like, bend over for her desires to be with Bruce and stuff like that, and to save Bruce when Bruce was actually not the best of things. And then I was mad about Bruce and the actor who played Bruce, and then I found out that he was in Troy, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's why he's so familiar. He's watchable, I guess.
I probably should have specified when I put this. Speaking of Bruce on this one, I think Bana was an okay actor. I think Bruce in this movie was just a jerk. He just seems so rude to Betty. And
He does repressed really well.
Yeah, he just seems so rude to people and to Betty. I mean, I was waiting for... I hadn't seen this movie in a long time, so I couldn't remember what happened. I was just waiting for Betty just to get him and just, like, smack him or deck him.
For me, it came across like he was like a smart recluse, like he was trying to be social, yeah. But he's awkward, and I thought it actually came across pretty well, he was that nerdy biologist character, where he would ride his bike and he'd wear his helmet, like he didn't have any cares in the world what people thought of him, like he just was trying to be a good human, you know,
yeah.
Earthly citizen.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. Any of the other actors we need a credit to?
Josh Lucas was an awesome smarmy bad guy. That was kind of fun watching him be just a complete and total ass for most of it. What?
I don't know. We like to use that word on the air.
Well, you know.
The first half of it.
We allowed badass last time, so
no. No, I'm not allowed to have this on the air. I think you're good.
I think you're fine.
You're okay. You're okay. So the story and the effects. How do you, Andrew? What did you think about how the effects in the story aged in this movie compared to maybe the other Hulk that we know?
I found the CGI not to be too distracting nor noticeable at some points. I know that we were watching Blade and Spider-Man. We would be able to see a lot of that CGI moment where there was that disconnect between reality and what was not. The one that just took me away from the whole entire thing was that guy exploding.
I like
that. That was ridiculous.
Yes.
But aside from that, I thought it was okay.
Okay. Fred, what about you?
The opening scenes and the dream scenes I thought were just awful. I didn't like any of them. That had the different elements that were growing, like they're trying to do like a biology thing where it was growing or something. I don't know. I just didn't like it whatsoever. Again, like Andrea said, where the scene where Talbot died and that fire explosion was just awful. And then the whole comic frames idea, I understand where they're trying to go with that, but it did not work for me. I did not like that whatsoever.
Now, see, I had no problems with the comic frames. I remember finding it a bit weird the first time I saw it. I watched it, but after like a few minutes, I'm like, oh, I see what they're trying to do. This is cool.
I think most of it was because it was just way overused. I think if it was a little bit more subtle, it would have been okay. But there were some scenes where they're going up to like four different frames on the same screen. It was just too busy.
Fair point.
I agree. Carrie, what about you? What did you think?
Well, okay, I admit that there are a lot of places where Hulk kind of looks like Gumby on steroids, but otherwise the CGI really isn't that bad for 2003, and not the worst thing ILM has done. And I'm looking at you, Mummy Returns, Mr. Scorpion King.
Oh boy.
But yeah, I wasn't too bothered by the CGI or the effects. I think for 2003 they're not the worst things in the world.
No.
I mean, okay, so I can give you that. I'm going to try to be as positive as I can, but it's probably not going to come out that way. To me, I didn't like the story. I think the story is what really kind of just irritated me, and everything else just kind of downhilled from that. The story just felt like it didn't feel like a comic book story. It felt like it could have, because when you get to that, I don't know how to describe it, to be honest.
I think that what
it felt like it took too long to get to the final confrontation between him and his dad. I feel like they could have taken off about 30 minutes of this movie and made a good, solid, hour and a half movie to an hour and 45 minutes, and it would have worked better. I just think they tried to make this movie longer than what it needed to be.
I think that's a fair point.
I think that they could have done two movies with whatever content they had for this one movie. I think that there was a military aspect of it, and then him finding his dad and coming to terms with everything that happened in his past. And I do agree with that. I felt like there was a lot of times where the story did jump back and forth, and I was like, okay, which story are we following? The military pursuit or... let's have a daddy issue moment and fix what was broken and figure out what happened in Bruce's past. So I do agree with that. I think it was way too long, and at times it just dragged on.
Right, and that's that thing that you kind of put it better. That's kind of how I felt. I felt like it was jumping around all the time, and that's what kind of took me out of it. I do agree that the effects for 2003 were not bad. But for having 2 years of being able to work on some of the effects, I didn't like them. I still thought they were... and I understand where we're coming from, that is from 2003. But some of the other movies we watched in 2003 were a lot better effects than that. Not counting the, 1998 play where he cuts the guy in half and his blood comes back. All right? So, anyways, I thought it was okay. But it was all right. I need to go watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine is what I need to go do. I need to go rewatch an episode or go re. I like Schooled and The Goldbergs, so I need to go watch one of those as well.
See,
those will work. Those will work. That's what I need to do. Maybe I need to give Umbrella Academy. Moving off the subject for a second, I tried Umbrella Academy.
I want to watch it because everybody's saying good things.
It's really good.
Carrie likes it. I watched two episodes and I couldn't.
Yeah, I think you have to be in the right state of mind to watch that show, and I'm not in that state of mind right now.
I think I'll go back and try it this week. That's my promise. I'll go back and try it again this week. So moving into some things that we liked about the movie, I have a very long list like everybody else.
You have a long list. That's a long list.
He was
really?
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That was the cons. Let me go back to the pros. No, so I did not know that Kevin Feige was an executive producer on this movie.
Who's that for those of us that don't know?
The guy who is basically executive producer of all the Marvel movies.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
He's basically the big honcho from Marvel. I'm surprised this didn't tank his Marvel career. I'm just gonna be honest. It's the movie. The money did not make what it was supposed to make. So, and we've seen some people take these kind of movies and then just it just completely tanked their career.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm surprised at that. I did like Hulk running and jumping in the desert, though. That was really cool to me. I enjoyed seeing that.
Well, yeah, I mean that's how I'm used to seeing him move in the animated series and in the comics. That's basically how he moves. He just jumps around. So I was fine with that.
I thought it was pretty cool. And then of course Sam Elliott. I mean, come on, Sam Elliott. That's all.
Yeah.
But what about y'all? What kind of stuff did y'all like about the movie?
There were bits and pieces, mostly around the dream sequences and the army base, that felt more Tim Burton-esque to me than like an Ang Lee movie. And that I think that could have something to do with the Elfman score and the comic book style editing. But unlike Fred, I really, really, really liked that feel. But that's because I'm a huge Tim Burton fan. I love that they used the Hulkbuster base in the movie, because this came out somewhere around the point where in the comics where Professor X had been imprisoned there after Onslaught. So I had some familiar with the base from the comics, and I think it made a couple of appearances in the animated series as well.
Very cool.
Tank hammer throw. That was awesome. Like, I remember that being in the trailer, and I was like, yes, that's great. Yes, thank you. Throw that. Anyone else?
I really liked a lot of the action sequences that were in this movie. The fight scenes between Hulk and the tanks was iconic. The fight scene between the Hulk and the dogs, and the fight scene between the Hulk and the helicopters. I thought it was done pretty well. Okay, I did like the scene where Hulk was jumping through the desert, but I do think they overplayed that one a little bit.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. One thing I liked about the story, where the origin of like what happened at the base, I like how they didn't give it to you all at once, and they revealed a little bit more as the story progressed.
Yeah.
I like that part. My absolute favorite moment in this whole movie was the last scene in the jungle. Where they you see Bruce Banner, and he's like, "This is making me angry. You don't like
you
it.
Don't
what I mean?
You like me angry?"
Well, and also, I mean, if you guys have seen the Incredible Hulk, he's like, you could almost see where bits and pieces of that of both movies could fit together.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And
yep.
And you know, it could like the Incredible Hulk could almost be a sequel to this. Because this movie ends in South America, and then the next one picks up in South America.
Exactly.
Even though several things are wildly different.
I think what Andrew mentioned earlier about them doing two movies out of this, I think if they would have taken the military aspect out of this one and used that one in part two, and then had him deal with the personal issues first of coming to be Hulk in this one, I think the movie would have flowed better for me. And so they could have dealt with the family and the daddy issues and everything else in this one, but in the next movie, deal with the military, because that's basically what the next one was, is a lot of military issues going on.
Mm-hmm. I get what you're saying, Mike, but when you have a ginormous green monster running about, the military is going to get involved.
No, they don't have to. They're like, really? Oh, he'll go away.
Nah, that's not how it works, generally speaking, in movies. I love the score for this, but I, as everyone knows, I'm a huge Danny Elfman fan. I especially love the percussion-heavy parts. It was very primal and reminiscent of his scores for Instinct and Dead Presidents. I loved watching the drive through Berkeley in the East Bay. I'm pretty sure I've seen several of those houses.
Awesome.
On my trips up north. And then I have issues with the final battle, but that scene prior where Bruce and his dad are sitting and talking to each other, it feels like something out of a black box play, which I found fascinating, having been a former theater stage tech person.
Very cool.
Yep. Anything else?
I really enjoyed a lot of the action sequences, and contrary to you guys' opinion, I really enjoyed the beginning credits. I thought that
oh, I like the
it was
parts.
Pretty interesting just having them do their research while they're doing the introduction and stuff like that. I thought the plot twist of Bruce's dad was very interesting because you, just like Bruce, did not know what exactly had happened in that room between mom and dad. And it was pretty interesting how that shaped up. It's not a pro, but the panels didn't bother me too much. I thought that when you guys were talking about it prior to watching the movie, I thought that it was going to be way too much and it was going to be really weird. I really didn't know what I was expecting going into the movie. So it was okay for me, but what I did not like was the twisty way that some of the scenes transitioned. It actually made me really dizzy when I was watching it, and I was not a fan of it. The fights were fun. And I can watch this movie again. It's okay. It's just too long.
Okay. Yeah, I actually did like, I agree with you there. I like the plot twist of Bruce's dad. And I forgot that that was a plot twist in the movie when I went back and saw it. I thought that was a very good thing too. I think too, that would have been, because now he shot himself up with the same stuff he gave his son, didn't he?
Yes. No. Oh. He shot himself up with the stuff and then passed it on to his son.
That's right. That's right. Utero. So I think it would have been really cool to see maybe him, maybe daddy become Abomination.
That would have been interesting.
Ooh.
Instead of what he was. So have daddy become morph into Abomination, and then daddy and son have the final battle between Abomination and Hulk.
I thought that's where they were going, to be honest.
That could have been fun, but I don't think Nick Nolte could top Tim Roth as Abomination.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it's Tim Bloody Roth.
So is there anything else that y'all enjoyed about it before we go into what semi bothered us about the movie? All right. Well, what are some things that kind of bothers you a little bit at the movie? Some things that maybe that they could have worked better on?
No gloves while doing research. What kind of blasphemy? What kind of animals are we that we do not wear gloves when we're doing research? I thought that was disgusting. This is a con because Fred ruined it. While we're watching the movie, all of a sudden he nonchalantly spoiled the fact that the janitor was Bruce's dad, and
it came out in the next scene.
I will never forgive you for that. No,
you're welcome.
It's not fair. The slap sound when Hulk hits one of the Hulk doggies was ridiculous, and I thought it was really funny. It took me away from everything. And then that CGI guy explosion was horrid. And what we talked about before, I felt like the story jumped a lot. So that was something that took away from actually understanding where things were going between characters and in the story. And I just put this for fun. Having a radiation leak, no problem. Throw a bruise at it because, you know, radiation can't seep through things and go and bounce everywhere. So, yeah.
Oh, details. Yeah. Details.
Yeah. Details.
I admit the final battle was a bit weird, especially the bit in the clouds before they got to the lake. I was just like, what the heck is going on there? And I don't mind this version of Betty, but I think she runs to her father a bit too quickly. That's not a tactic I would take with someone I hadn't spoken to in years, even if he is a general.
Yeah. I agree.
I kind of felt... I put on here the opening credits seemed very Ninja Turtles in cheap form from the early 90s. That's what I said. They probably blew all their money on the CGI for Hulk. So that's why it felt cheap. The movie in the early 2000s, for a movie being there, it felt and looked very 70s Incredible Hulk TV.
I can kind of see that.
The dad was also so irresponsible for having a kid and not telling his wife what he did.
Yeah. He's apparently under no obligations to share his research with his wife.
Yeah, but that seems like something pretty important if you're wanting to have a kid. Hey, yeah, by the way, babe, listen, I happen to shoot myself up with some drugs that I don't know what it's going to do to me or to the kid. So I'm just wanting you to know, hey, you still want to have this kid, though, right?
For science!
It's for science, man.
Oh, man. Oh, it was funny to me. Most of everything else I've already blown out. I don't know. Like I said, it's just me. It's just me. I'm usually a pretty positive person. I try to be.
Well, I got one that hasn't been brought up yet. I got two. So one, the military attack on the Hulk in the San Francisco Bay. Like, come on. They're not going to be launching... they're not going to be shooting at the Hulk on top of the bridge while there's all those cars underneath. Like, no. That's just
ridiculous. Or dropping missiles in the bay, in broad daylight. Yeah, they're not going to do that.
Yeah. And then the Hulk jumps on the back of the plane as it's flying up. There's no way that plane would be able to sustain lift.
Yeah.
Let alone go straight up to the atmosphere. So, sure. Okay. At least I wouldn't think so. Like, the Hulk seems to be pretty big compared to that little plane.
Big and pretty heavy, yeah. That would put a bit of a strain on the plane.
I think Hulk would have jumped on that plane and they just would have ended up in the bay.
Exactly.
But that's...
Well, he did save the pilot's life by jumping on the plane, though.
This is true.
Well, not just the pilot's life, everybody's life, to be honest.
And then,
he saved a lot of people's lives by doing that.
So, Betty betrays the Hulk, Bruce Banner. They have breakfast. They, you know, put him to sleep. And they go into all that effort of getting Bruce Banner to the desert base. Get him, you know, with all that military escort down into the depths of the base. And all that coverage and keeping him asleep for, you know, the rest of his life. Whatever. And then all of a sudden he's back on the surface going for a stroll.
Yeah. I understand it was a destroyed town, but... Yeah, you're right.
So, okay... Betty is taking him for a walk to resurface some of these repressed dreams. What did they think was going to happen? Oh, yeah, Daddy was going to kill me, and he's going to turn into the Hulk, and he's going to freak out. Like,
She seemed very pushy on him to uncover these dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was.
So I don't know what they're expecting there.
She should have become the Abomination. That would have been something.
Oh, yeah, now you're on something.
You guys.
No. Anybody else? Anything else that kind of bothered you a little bit about this movie?
No.
I mean, it was a good movie. I just think there were some things that, compared to what we have now, I don't think it holds up. But then again, it was 2003.
Yeah.
And it does the best it can. So. All right. Well, if that's it, I added a quick discussion topic. So we have had four people play the Hulk on TV or movies that I can think of in my mind. Okay. Obviously, Mark Ruffalo has not had any solo Hulk movies apart from Thor Ragnarok, which could have been a Thor Hulk duo movie. But best Banner / Hulk combo, because you can't really say who played the best Hulk, because, you know, Hulk is big and green, he's gonna smash stuff. But who played the best Banner and Hulk combo? So you have, out of the four, you have Lou Ferrigno, you have Eric Bana, which we just got done watching, we have Edward Norton, which we'll watch when we get later on to the Incredible Hulk, and then we have Mark Ruffalo, who plays the current Hulk. Now, I understand we've seen more of Mark Ruffalo than any of these other ones, because he's been in more of the other movies and the recent movies.
Mm-hmm.
But which one do y'all like?
I am semi-part... I like Mark Ruffalo, but I am semi-partial to the Ed Norton Bruce Banner.
Okay.
I think that if he had been able to not let his ego get in the way... having him with the rest of the Avengers would have been very interesting. It would have been a much different story.
Okay.
Not that I don't like what they're doing with Mark Ruffalo, but I think Ed Norton's addition to the team could have been interesting if he had been willing to play well with others.
Yep.
This is actually tougher than I thought it would be. I do like the Mark Ruffalo one, but I don't think he's the best Bruce.
Yeah. He's a good Hulk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I kind of lean towards this guy, Eric Bana, just because he was the first one, but I wasn't a big fan of the Hulk. Just because it's older and it's not the same. So I don't know. I'd have to see them all at the same quality level, I guess.
Okay. Andrew, what about you?
Part of me wants to reserve my judgment until I watch The Incredible Hulk, so I'm just going to say right now that Mark Ruffalo is my favorite Hulk because, like you said, I think it's kind of like a I see him more often and I see his Hulk more often right now, so I get to enjoy his character a lot more, and I enjoy how funny his character can be and how stubborn the Hulk is with when Mark Ruffalo plays him, so I'll go with him.
Now, I do have a point of contention, Mike. Lou Ferrigno only played the Hulk. He did not play Bruce Banner or David Banner in the TV show. That was Bill Bixby.
Okay. So we could put that. That's fine. I just, everybody, when they see Lou Ferrigno, they think of, oh, Hulk.
Well, yeah, because he was the one in the green makeup.
Right. I could see that too, Andrea, by the way, about Mark Ruffalo, about keeping judgment for him. I mean, he's the best Hulk we got until he's gone after Endgame, right. And then we'll have somebody else take a spot. So, you know, something about Banner just didn't settle with me. I don't know why. I do like Mark Ruffalo as, I think he has his moments. In the movies, like, you know, well, here, that's the secret, I'm always angry, you know, one of the clear, you know, the classic lines from the Avengers movie, and it's, I'm going to be interesting to see what he does in this movie coming up, in Endgame, mm-hmm. and see his character, because, you know, he's going to be one of the scientists that, you know, he's going to be working closely with, I can't remember his name, I know it's Ant-Man, I just can't think of his name.
Scott?
Yes.
Scott, thank you. You know him and Scott are going to be working close together.
But Scott's not a scientist. Scott's just a thief.
But with Scott's knowledge of the quantum
realm.
That's
true.
Anyways. I like Edward Norton. I think Edward Norton's pretty a good Hulk in my mind. So let's look a little bit at some trivia then. Andrea, there wasn't a lot about this movie, but what do we got?
All right. So a lot of the microbiology work we see on screen is real and is the work of director Ang Lee's wife. I actually liked the centrifuge that they used because I've used centrifuges before, and that one was prehistoric. Like, it was crazy. Ang Lee employed the split screen technique to cinematically mimic the panels of comic book pages. This required many takes of one scene, which was mentioned before. And this was very draining for Eric Bana. No wonder he was so pissy sometimes. It took him four takes to film Banner's first Hulk transformation, and by the time of its completion, he was on the verge of collapse again. Another reason why Banner was so pissed off. I really liked that.
And the why he looked ill afterwards. Yeah.
It played with the character. Fantastic.
Yay.
This film holds the record for largest second weekend box office drop for a film that opened at number one with a 69.7% drop, which is crazy.
Damn.
That's a big drop.
Ang Lee took Eric Bana to watch a bare-knuckled boxing match to prepare him for the brutality of his role. Well, that didn't help with all the amount of takes that he had to do.
Didn't we see that same bare knuckle boxing match in when we watched X-Men with Wolverine fighting one guy?
Yes. That's
the match he took him to. That's the one up there in Canada. Sure. That's it right there. Yeah.
During production,
gloves are expensive.
They are. During production in San Francisco, California, filming had to be stopped for about 2 hours because some college students from UC Berkeley were playing a prank and systematically urinating in porta potties, creating very loud peeing sounds that distracted the cast members on set. It took about this 2 hours like to round up all the students. That is ridiculous.
I was down in LA while they were filming this. It was not me. I never went to UC Berkeley.
No, Tim, what were you doing? That's what we really need to know.
Tim. Throwing him under the bus.
Oh, Tim's not listening to this.
No, he doesn't.
In April 1997, Joe Johnston was going to direct the film, but dropped out of the project in July of that year to film October Sky, which was released in 1999. Johnston directed the Marvel Cinematic Universe film Captain America: The First Avenger in 2011. Stan Lee, at around 12 minutes, the creator of the Hulk, in 1962, appeared as a security guard. Lee ad-libbed his lines. And the last trivia is that Lou Ferrigno, at around 12 minutes, is the security guard with Stan Lee, I'm assuming.
Yes. I love that, especially the height difference. That was amazing.
And the arm depth on Lou Ferrigno. How much tighter can that shirt have gotten on him?
Oh, no kidding.
I mean, those buttons look like they're about to pop off and hit someone in the eye.
Don't make him angry.
Yes. Don't make him bend over, guys. That shirt's not going to hold. All right, so let's rate this movie. Since I'm the negative and I want to lead on a positive, I'll rate it first. This is 1 out of 10 gamma radiated attack poodles.
That's your rating?
That was your rating?
Yeah, I thought that was.
So 1 out of 10 gamma radiated attack poodles. I try to like it. I really did. I don't like giving movies lowball numbers. I don't think any movie yet I've given a 1 to. This one came close. But I'm going to give this one a 3.
Wow.
3 out of 10.
Wow.
I desperately tried. I really did. But it just didn't click with me. And probably because my mind kept thinking of, while I'm watching this, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see the Abomination in the other Incredible Hulk movie. And it just kind of took me out of it a little bit. So I give it a 3 out of 10, gamma radiated attack poodles. Fred, what about you?
I'm a little bit more generous than you are. I thought the movie is watchable. I thought it was a good popcorn flick. There's definitely a lot of improvement that could be done in this movie, but hey, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to give it 5.5 out of 10 gamma radiated attack poodles.
All right, Carrie, what about you?
I'm going to give it a solid 5. It's not the worst movie in the world. I don't hate it. It's not the best movie either. There are lots of Marvel movies I will watch before I watch this one again, but it's not completely terrible.
It's not the worst movie. It's not the worst movie ever. We've already seen that one.
We have?
Andrea? Yeah, The Phantom. Andrea, what about you?
No.
Hi, I won't say anything, Carrie.
No, I was saying no to Mike.
I know.
Please rate the movie, Andrea.
I am actually going to agree with Fred and say 5.5 out of 10 gamma radiated attack poodles.
Good choice.
That was planned.
Whew.
No. Oh boy.
What is that? What is
all
that
right
quote? Happy husband, happy life. Like, is that how it goes?
Happy wife.
I know.
Happy wife,
I
happy
know
life.
I wouldn't know.
Oh. All right. Well, we don't have any feedback, which I'm hurt by. We don't have any listener reviews, which I'm also hurt by. But we do have to tell you what the next movie we're gonna watch is.
Yes.
Yay.
Would be Hellboy from 2004.
Awesome.
So excited.
Yay.
I am actually looking forward. I actually enjoyed that movie. And you know what? Now that I say it, watch. I'm going to go and watch it. I'm going to be like, wait a minute. How did I enjoy this garbage?
No.
That's exactly
No, be positive,
that's exactly
Mike.
No, I said I really loved that movie, but now that I'm saying that, watch what's going to happen. I'm going to watch it, and I'm going to be like, man, this is not good.
Actually really fitting that we're watching this movie with the new one coming out really soon.
That's true.
I thought that, too. I thought that was pretty cool. And then after we watch the Hellboy movie, we have none other than The Punisher from 2004. Does anybody know who played Frank Castle, The Punisher?
Thomas Jane.
I am so excited.
That's right, Thomas Jane. Did you?
I have gained a deeper appreciation for Thomas Jane from The Expanse. I enjoy his acting style because it's so weird and unique, and just him as a person, as an actor, he's so interesting. So I'm excited to see this because I've never watched it.
Me neither.
I've seen it one time. Did you know that John Travolta's in the movie too?
Really?
Yes, and he plays the villain.
Oh, yep. Interesting.
So it'd be interesting to go back and watch that one. Like I said, I've seen it once, so I'm interested to go back and see it again and see how much it's changed. So, but is there anybody else have anything else they'd like to say?
Live long and prosper.
No.
And Mike, I hope that this week is better for you and that you feel all the positivity I'm sending your way.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
That's so sweet.
It's been a long week, y'all. It's been a long week.
We'll buy you a puppy.
I want a puppy.
Gamma radiated puppy.
5.5 of them.
5.5 of them. Oh. But listen, we want to hear from you. We really do. Email us at capedchronicles@randomchatter.com. Tell me how wrong I am. It's okay. Hey, listen, I get hate every day, all day. It's okay. It's cool. But look, we want to hear from you. We want to see what you like about the movie, see what you didn't like about the movie. Tell us what you're excited for. If you're excited about the new Hellboy coming out, we want to hear from you. You can also find us on Twitter. You can find us at Random Chatter on Twitter. You can also find at Random Chatter on Instagram as well. So make sure you follow them. You can also find me on Twitter. I have a new Twitter handle. I am no longer OB_MikeKenobi. My new Twitter handle is @TheDCFanboy. So @TheDC_fanboy. So make sure you follow me on Twitter.
Lame.
Carrie, where can we find you? Say what? Yeah.
He actually remembered it correctly this time.
Hey, that's
no,
handy.
I still had Twitter open because I couldn't remember my own new handle.
Peter, right when he started. By the way, can I see your phone case? Nice.
Awesome. That's awesome.
This is really helpful for audio.
Anyways, Carrie, where can we find you?
You can find me at Carrie Blackfire 42. That's K-E-R-I Blackfire 42.
And Andrew, what about you?
You can find me on Twitter at Cats Bears. That's KatzBears.
And Fred, what about you?
You can find me on Twitter at Freddy Wan Kenobi. That's FreddyWon Kenobi.
And you can find all of our shows at randomchatter.com from Guardians of MCU and DC Talk. You can also find Fred and Andrea are also on Outer Rim. And they've just got done recording a dual podcast with Echo Base. That'll be coming out to you shortly. Hopefully that'll be awesome as well. Actually, I know it will. So make sure you check them out on Outer Rim. And Andrea is also on Tight Beam and Fangirl Confessional.
Wee wee.
Wee wee. So make sure you check all those podcasts out.
I'm sorry.
But yeah, listen, guys, check us out on Random Chatter. There's lots of articles, lots of other stuff. Learn a little bit about us. There's some polls that we'll put on there. So keep those things in mind.
And please spread the word about us. Help us punish other people. I mean, spread the word about all the good work.
Yes. That's not the way that you treat a lightsaber, Mike.
If you guys are enjoying the show, we're sure that some of your friends would probably like us as well. Reach out to us on Twitter, Stitcher, Google Play. Leave us a review. Give us some stars. We'd really appreciate it. If you do leave us a review, we will read it on the air. Good, bad, or otherwise, we will spread all your good cheer.
And finally, the music. Sorry. Sorry.
Let the weed kick in after we're done recording, Carrie.
We just woke her up.
No, it's all good. It's all good. Okay, finally, the music you hear in this podcast is High Roller Mojo by Blue Stolly, and as silly as the sentence sounds, all trademarks are owned by their respective owners. Until next time, guys, puny human.
May the force be with you.
Goodbye, puny humans.
Live long and prosper.
Live long and prosper.
See y'all.